producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So Chris O'Brien is back this week. Last week he was off trying to have some R&R, but you ended up actually doing some work.
Yeah, I did. It was a huge party. Many came. There were many bands to coordinate and videos to be shot and recording, audio recordings to be made, and lots of gorgeous girls in slinky outfits. It was fun. I worked pretty much the whole time, but had a great time, especially my last day that was out relaxing on the boat, catching some sun, little R&R. I was hoping to get a couple of Z's, but oh well. I'm still catching up in some regard.
Reminds me of the days I used to go on the convention circuit. I go over to UFO conventions, and I hope to get a few days' relaxation. And you end up going to the convention, meeting up with people, and they say, hey, we got a party here in this hotel room. Maybe meet up with us, or we just hang out with a few people all night. And by the time we got home, having to go back to work. And those days, it wasn't always so easy.
No. And that was this past weekend with all the folks that turned out for the Skyfire Summit up in Heber, Arizona. A good time was had by all. I volunteered. I helped park cars. I was referred to by the organizer as her bitch. I'm not sure how I should take that. Karen's an intimidating sort. So I just, rolled up my sleeves and applied a little elbow grease on a couple of situations, and hopefully my presence was appreciated. I didn't get myself into any, at least obvious trouble, so I must have done pretty good.
Well, definitely. Tell us more about the event, though. Now, this is the 40th anniversary of the Travis Walton abduction, right?
Correct. And we had a number of the original forest workers that were on the team that witnessed Travis's cavalier movements of running out underneath the craft and getting zapped. Yeah, there were quite a number of notables. James Fox and Tracy Torme were there talking about their 701 movie project.
I want to ask you before we go on. The development of that film had been stalled, I don't know, maybe for fundraising or something. How's it going now, and when is it going to be released? Is there a release time frame?
Well, they're going to kind of revamp and go back to, I think, at least I'm not really sure totally. I can't really speak for them, but it appears like, the expensive sort of create a whole fictionalized version of the story.
Reenactments, in other words.
But to actually weave some sort of dramatic storyline through,
sure,
the 701 cases or whatever that remain classified as unidentified in Project Blue Book, which is, the whole idea of the movie. But their vision for it was a little bit too far-reaching. I think they're pulling back and going more with your conventional sort of reenactments, documentary, docudrama style, which they were really trying to avoid. But, I think reality has kind of kicked in. They've had a number of potential funding arrangements that have not completely panned out. They've had quite a bit of funding up till now to get the project, to where it is now. But they do need a lot of money for post-production and finishing up the reenactments and what have you. Again, I'm not really privy to the insider information on all that. At least I can't really speak for them. I think, the project needs to be presented to the public at its various phases by individuals who are part of the project. I am not officially a PR person for 701 by any stretch, but You know, I support their efforts. I've known Tracy for many years, over 20 years. James, I really appreciate his vision, his, you know, visual acuity as a cinematographer and a filmmaker. I think he's one of the best that we have in the realm.
The thing to bear in mind here, too, is that, as we all know, making a film, a really good quality film, is very expensive. Yes, you have these occasional things like a paranormal activity found footage kind of thing that could be done on the cheap. But if you really want something with the best quality equipment and really good production values, we're talking about some kind of multi-million dollar project.
Yeah.
And it's not easy to raise money even in the best of times. And even when you get the money for something that looks like a A-list movie, like the recent Steve Jobs movie with the Aaron Sorkin screenplay and everything, that one cost over $30 million to make, and it bombed.
Right.
So, you know, it's not easy and nothing's guaranteed. So we understand the difficulties and we wish them luck. We should bring them on the show again in the near future and talk about 701, the movie. Anything else of interest from that event?
Well, when they went out to the actual site out in the woods over by the Mogollon Rim, I guess initially the Thursday bus had to be canceled because of the snow Wednesday night. So they rescheduled both buses to go out there on Sunday after the conference was officially over. I did not go there. I had too much to do. I needed to get back. But based on some photographs I saw on social media, it looked like at least one of the buses got stuck. From what I hear, a couple did. But that didn't dissuade people from, you know, having a good time out there at one of the most notorious locations in the annals of, well, definitely abductions, but in the annals of ufology. I think the Walton case has stood the test of time. There's been quite a number of people that have come down against it over the years, but, I mean, we have not seen really any wiggle in the whole block of it's just, to me, it's a monolithic case because it's never, there's never been any chinks in the armor. I mean, Phil Klass or whomever offering $10,000 for someone who come out and say it was all a hoax but have to prove it. The lie detector tests. There's a lot about the case that are really iconic and I think deserve the amount of attention that it gets. You know, when Travis or any of his family go off into that 1,000-yard stare, it strikes home. They're definitely that man experienced something, whether it was what people think it is, ETs from other planets or whatever. You know, I think the writing is on the wall that there are many, many more unanswered questions about the Walton case than we have answers for. And that, to me, is a hallmark of a real case that is worthy of the attention and worthy of discussion. So,
of course, anything that relates to UFO abductions is troublesome because of the controversies. And we won't get back to the certain former history professor that was the subject of so much controversy.
Well,
in our
what about the supportive cases, Gene? The month before the Walton case, we had the largest and only wave of cattle mutilations in Arizona right along the rim there. And then a month after the Walton case, we have a very well documented, in terms of my personal opinion, case that occurred between Witch Wells and the Zuni Reservation that features my close friend Clifford Mahudi and his family. And to be there at the Pueblo and be finally told after being in denial for 35 years, his father finally came forward and walked me through his recollections of a very enigmatic object hovering over the Pueblo and right over their house.
No, it's some interesting things that we really should explore in future episodes. Now, we've got some really fascinating guests today. We have the return of Leslie Kane, who's been on before. She's an investigative reporter who got involved in UFOs. We're also introducing to the show Mark Rodiger, who is the head of the J. Allen Hynek Center for UFO Studies. And I knew Hynek, you know, for a short time in the years before he died. So this is going to be very interesting because they have a brand new project called UFO Data, a UFO detection and tracking project to set up a network of automated surveillance stations with sensors in different parts of the world. This is hard scientific research into UFOs. It's coming up next with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
A lot of people's lives and bodies are out of balance. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops optimize pH level and get rid of harmful waste and acid. Just a few drops in water restores vibrance and energy and gets you back in balance. Now order two bottles and get $10 off your order. Sign up for monthly auto shipping and save 25%. Call 800-518-7615 or visit alkavision.com. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at alkavision.com.
My name is Bill Bonner, and I have an important message. Right now, the highest levels of government are struggling against an inevitable crisis, but they're about to lose control. When this happens, it will rip our country apart in ways you never imagined, from where we shop to the family you want to protect. Look, I've made predictions like this before. A few years ago, I warned that the housing prices would collapse. Before that, I warned that dot-com companies would crash, and they did. Those who listened had a chance to save themselves. But this has nothing to do with the stock market. This will affect us all. I've posted a free video at disappearingdollar.com. Maybe you'll disagree with my conclusions, but first you need to watch this video and see the facts for yourself. You can watch the video for free right now by going to disappearingdollar.com. Again, that's disappearingdollar.com.
I want to be able to smoke inside, cut down on cigarettes, jog without wheezing, be kissable, and save money.
Then you want LeSig e-cigarettes. Get the highest quality, best tasting vaping experience on the market with unmatched customer service from LeSig. And right now, gobble up this deal. Buy $30 worth of any products and get a starter kit for only $5. Use code SK at checkout. But hurry, offer good only until Thanksgiving at LeSig.com. LeSig.com. Kick some ash with LeSig.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Before we go on, I got to tell you about something that's happening very soon on Paracast Plus and may have already happened. By the time you hear the show, we have a slight price increase for Paracast Plus. So the monthly price goes up from $5 a month to $6 a month. If that seems like much, there are other shows out there that charge up to $9 a month for the premium versions. What we're talking about here with Paracast Plus is the ad-free version of the Paracast. the exclusive After the Paracast podcast. We've added show transcripts, and Chris is finalizing some video content. So the Paracast video channel is coming soon, but it takes a lot of work to, of course, edit down those videos so they work well on a mobile device or on a personal computer without chewing up lots of bandwidth but still look good. So we're working on it. It's going to happen. To learn more, go to plus.theparacast.com. That's plus.theparacast.com, and we'll tell you about the pricing, how to sign up and everything. For long-term memberships, we give you free ebooks from Chris O'Brien, and I've added also for the lifetime memberships, we might even give you a copy of Attack of the Rockoids, which is a science fiction novel that my son Grayson and I wrote. So lots of special offers, but the great advantage of the ad-free version of this show after the Paracast and everything. The price goes up on November 16th. So if you catch it before then and you subscribe, you lock in the rate as long as your subscription remains in force. Plus.theparacast.com. Plus.theparacast.com. We're talking today about the UFO Data Project with Leslie Kane, who's been on the show several times before, and we welcome a new friend of the show, Mark Rodiger. He heads up the J. Allen Hynek Center for UFO Studies, probably one of the most prestigious UFO organizations around the world. And before we get to Mark, Leslie, I just wanted a bit of an update here. Since you're the cheerleader for UFO Data, how did you get involved?
Well, actually, I knew Alex Wendt, who wrote a chapter for my book, an absolutely brilliant chapter in my book. And I knew he was interested in doing something like this. And a number of years ago, I was just in communication with him, and we had a meeting at a local, well, I won't say where because I'm not supposed to, but I guess, right, Mark? But anyway, right. There was a group of us that all came together to kind of brainstorm some organization like this. And Mark and Alex had pulled in a lot of really outstanding scientists, and we had presentations from them, and we were linked up through Skype to people in other parts of the world. And so I was just sort of in the initial meeting in which we kind of launched the whole project. And I've been very interested in it because, you know, as a journalist, I'm interested in getting more data and more information that's factual about UFOs. So this is the kind of thing I'm very much interested in and really want to support. And so I've just been kind of in touch with these guys. And then when we did the launch about 5 or 6 weeks ago, I wrote an article for the Huffington Post to kind of get it out onto the map. And that's how the whole launch began.
Now, one of the things that interests me is the potential of a project like this, because the biggest thing about UFOs, of course, is the fact that we have a large collection of anecdotal data to deal with. But getting hard scientific evidence over the years has been difficult. And I know we have problems with just having enough money to do it because a lot of organizations have to kind of run things on a low budget. It's not that we have lots of rich people who are willing to give to UFO research. Now, Mark, tell our listeners about your background, how you got involved in this affair, UFOs.
I'd be happy to do that, Gene and Chris. I was a college student in the early 1970s who had been interested in UFOs for many a year, as so many of us were who grew up in the 60s when sightings were fast and furious. And Allen Hynek started the Center for UFO Studies in Evanston after the Great Wave in 1973. And I read about the beginnings of it, and I actually grew up in Northwest Indiana, not in the Chicago suburbs, effectively. And I thought, you know, when I go home from school for summer, I've got to contact him and see if I can get involved. So, you know, one thing led to another, and I was able to convince him to let me volunteer, and began to do things there, and have maintained my interest and involvement ever since.
Now, as some of our listeners know, I met Dr. Hynek several times. I interviewed him, and he always struck me as being such a kind, gentle person. And I always wished I could have had a college professor like him.
He was the a classic college professor in the absent-minded category. But as you say, warm, generous, wonderful teacher. The absent-minded category, though, just one anecdote, quick one comes to mind, is that he managed to leave his briefcase one day on the Chicago L going back to Evanston.
And that's like the New York subways, by the way, if you want a comparison.
That's right. And fortunately, he got it back. You know, those were the days, right, when people return things.
Now they sell it on eBay.
Exactly. But, yeah, he was wonderful to be around. He was jovial. He liked to meet people. One thing that was different about him compared to most, hard scientists, physical scientists, is that he liked people and liked being around people. And so he enjoyed interviewing witnesses to cases and hearing their stories. That, of course, is a tremendous benefit for anybody who wants to go out and study UFOs in the field, by getting witness testimony. In that sense, the Air Force didn't know who they were picking when they chose him to be their chief consultant for Project Blue Book.
Of course, you know, he was criticized early on as being a debunker. And then, of course, we have the marsh gas explanation for sightings in Michigan. And, of course, that inspired hearings about UFOs in the late 60s, brought about the Condon Report, the Air Force giving up UFO research. But obviously, Dr. Hynek realized over time there was a lot more happening with UFOs. And even when I interviewed him in the 70s, I could see his views were migrating and becoming more expansive as to the possibilities. But how did you come to head up this organization?
Sometimes you just have to hang around. What is it Woody Allen says? 98% of life is showing up or something.
I think that's about actors say that, too. As long as you show up, you watch your mark, you'll do okay. Mm-hmm.
Right. So I guess I did the same thing at the center. I hung in there. I joined the board formally in 1980, I believe. Allen semi-retired in 1984 from the center, moved to Arizona to a warm climate, and got involved down there with some other UFO-related activities. Still was on the board, but wasn't as active. But he was still nominally the head of the organization. But we had talked about this, and not that he expected him to pass away as soon as he did in 1986. But he said to me, and to the board, I looked around here and I wanted to find somebody who was younger, who had the energy and the drive to run this place. And, Mark's the guy. So when I can no longer do it, I'd like to see him become my successor. And unfortunately, that turned out to be much sooner than we thought.
Yes, I think he died of a brain tumor, was it?
Yes, a brain tumor. Yeah, they go very quickly for most people. And even now, even with cancer's treatment being so improved. It was just 9 months.
Now, he was really somebody I missed because I had, in addition to meeting him a few times, a few conversations over the phone, just a really great guy and really a big loss to the field. Let's talk more about your involvement and what the organization is doing today and how you got involved in the UFO Data Project, and many thousands of other questions in our next segment. We have Mark Rodiger, Leslie Kane with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't pick on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes! I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. manipulation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
If you're like me, you're concerned about the stock market and the economy. You're asking the questions, but it just doesn't seem that you're getting the right answers. Well, my friends at the Wealth Preservation Institute not only have the answers, but they put together a free report, How to Survive the Upcoming Economic Collapse and Protect Your 401ks, IRA Savings, and Retirement Income. Don't hesitate. This report's for free for a limited time by calling 888-772-2929. That's 888-772-2929. Take back your financial lives today.
Hi, Peter Picaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, Leslie Kane, Mark Rodiger. Mark, so you became the head of the organization by showing up, which is pretty good. Today, 2015, what sort of activities is the Center for UFO Studies involved in?
Less that we'd like to for a variety of reasons, but I would say that they focus on archival preservation first and foremost, meaning that we know that it's important to be able to obtain the files of longtime researchers. I can tell you, I can't reveal details because we're right in the middle of negotiations, but a well-known longtime investigator who hadn't been active recently passed away. We've been, you know, talking to people connected to him about, you know, his files, and this is quite common. This comes up regularly. So that's one thing. And then, of course, we scan them, you know, and all of that. You know, we still have ongoing interest in physical trace cases if we can find them. You probably have had on guests who talked about the evolution of the types of sightings that have been going on, you know, since the 70s or so, and how they've changed. And one of the most dramatic changes has been the reduction in close encounter cases of all types, but particularly those with physical evidence.
And that leads us, Mark, to several questions that we have for you later at forum.theparacast.com, where our listeners actually ask questions of our guests. There's a bunch of them. This one from San. Mark, to what extent has CUFOS received reports of close encounters over the last few years, particularly landings and reports of objects hovering near the ground?
Right. And the answer is, you know, we don't receive as many reports as we used to because we have not been for years a major reporting organization. You know, that's MUFON, that's New Fork, Peter Davenport. But I monitor those databases closely, and we still do receive some reports. And as with those two other organizations, very few true close encounter cases occur. You know, one of my earliest interests in the field was vehicle interference reports where somebody's car or truck is affected by a UFO. Well, those are they used to be about 15 or 20 per year worldwide. Not a large number, but still enough to study. Now it's one or two, perhaps. So what is that, 90% less? And they're, the same thing is true with CE3, the classic CE3 cases, right, where people see a humanoid. Same thing's true with the physical trace cases like Ted Phillips and others have studied.
Now, that's interesting here. We've had Ted Phillips on the show, by the way, several times. But just focusing on the change in cases, so we're talking here about the fact that the close-up cases and the physical trace, that happened more often a while back, but now it's back to just seeing things in the sky mostly?
To a certain extent, yes. And just to link that to UFO data, by the way, it wasn't a driving force completely in like the what we're trying to measure for the UFO data project that we'll talk about later. But the UFO data project is not expecting that we're going to have things landing close to our stations. We are expecting that we're going to be trying to measure and detect the UFO phenomena at, you know, some distance in the sky. And that'll be great because our instruments will be able to do that. But yes, you know, getting back to your question, close encounters and, you know, Ted knows that. We used to regularly get cases where you could take stuff into the labs, and look at them. And the angel hair cases, right? When's the last time that we've had a quality angel hair case?
Just a few days ago in Arizona, actually. It's funny you should mention it. The first one I've seen in probably years.
Yeah, great. I'd like to hear about it. But Chris, your point is, you know, underscores mine, which is that, you know, there you go, the first one in years.
Yeah. Well, this is interesting, too. I know we had a lot of those cases back in the 50s when you'd read Major Donald Kehoe's books. But, Mark, tell our listeners, because not everybody is up to speed on all this stuff that you and I and Chris and Leslie are talking about. Angel hair cases, what does that involve? Precisely what it sounds like?
Well, of course, not precisely. Angels aren't involved, and it isn't really hair. Other than that, it's perfectly labeled. But in the 1950s, you know, I can't say it was common, but it certainly wasn't so rare that, you know, you shook your head and thought, yeah, that's just a one-off, as the English would say. Typically, in a clear day, often in the fall, witnesses would report seeing a disc or more than one in the sky, pretty high up, not close by, and they would then see, perhaps not coming from the disc, but in the vicinity of the disc, material falling from the sky or blowing in the sky, but eventually falling to the ground. This material really was more akin to spider webs, but not the kinds of spider webs that I have, you know, over if I look to the side here in the office, but very thicker, whiter, you know, more voluminous. I mean, you would covering the ground. You know, there are pictures showing it covering the ground. And the
not as sticky as spider web.
Now, and the key physical feature of it, besides all those things, is that people claimed that they collected it and put it into a jar that that would sublimate, it would evaporate, which, of course, spider webs don't do. It was collected rarely, but samples were collected that sometimes didn't sublimate. Analysis was done. A guy named Brian Boldman, who passed away a few years ago, was the most recent researcher who did a more sophisticated view of the phenomena statistically. And then some analysis has been done recently in a couple of potential angel hair samples by Phyllis Budinger, a chemist who has been looking at UFO samples for many years now. And nothing definitive was shown except that I believe it was shown to be not spider webs. But the source of it is, of course, you know, still to be determined. Now, there are reports of quote-unquote angel hair that have clearly been spider webs because spiders do something called blooming in the fall, where often young spiders in the millions will travel on webs across the sky to migrate. And these webs then fall to the ground and they can be, large in number. And the key though is if you look at them, you know, what you see on them is a small spider or two or 1,000. That wasn't true for angel hair.
Now, where the angel hair was collected in a jar and disappeared, there was no residue whatever left by?
No, you know, the jar wasn't airtight. We're not talking, you know, high-tech physics technology where if you did that, you could analyze the atmospheric gases. You know, perhaps in one case, my memory, you know, isn't perfect, so maybe in one case somebody tried to do that. But in general, those jars were not, you know, such that the sample jars were not, you know, you couldn't do anything like you're suggesting.
Right, completely isolated.
Yeah, right.
Okay, other than something really weird, is there a conventional or potential conventional explanation for something like angel hair? That's something that just would seem to evaporate.
Well, you know, I...
not really.
No, yeah, I mean, I'm casting my mind back to what I've read about it. I wish I'd seen it myself. I talked to people who have built...
Well, I have an example that I did see myself. We're not talking angel hair, but we are talking a strange kind of yellowish, oily kind of marmalade substance that has been found on mutilated cattle. And in my very first field investigation, I have videotape of me collecting about enough to put a good blob on a quarter. So about a level teaspoon of this material was filmed and put in a film container. Tape was wrapped around it. I signed my name on it. It was overnighted that day to Denver to Dr. John Altshuler, a hematologist. And when he pulled the tape off and opened that film container, he could detect nothing scientifically had been in there except for film. And the stuff that you see on the video, me putting in the container, wrapping it up and sending it off to Denver, which is about 180 miles away. It took 5, 6, 7 hours maybe to get there. We did get it there that day. And all the tests he did, he could not detect the presence of anything.
We have Mark Rodiger, Leslie Kane, Gene, and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Conspiracy Journal is your number one source for the hidden world of the weird and strange. We bring you thought-provoking and controversial material for free-thinking individuals who are seeking what is really going on in our world today. Some of this material may adversely affect you. Other pieces are meant to enlighten. Either way, be prepared to be intrigued by such things as the reality of UFOs, ghosts, strange creatures from time and space, hidden conspiracies, time travel, Nikola Tesla, suppressed technology, and a whole lot more. You can find out more by visiting our website at conspiracyjournal.com. There you can sign up for our free weekly newsletter sent directly to your email address. Find out what they don't want you to know.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Hi, I'm Rick Osick with Famous Footwear. Did you know that premature birth is the number one killer of babies? And that's why we support the March of Dimes in the fight against premature birth. Join us in supporting cutting-edge research, treatment programs, and outreach to help moms have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Learn how you can help save babies' lives at marchofdimes.org.
My name is Bill Bonner, and I have an important message. Right now, the highest levels of government are struggling against an inevitable crisis, but they're about to lose control. When this happens, it will rip our country apart in ways you never imagined, from where we shop to the family you want to protect. Look, I've made predictions like this before. A few years ago, I warned that the housing prices would collapse. Before that, I warned that dot-com companies would crash, and they did. Those who listened had a chance to save themselves. But this has nothing to do with the stock market. This will affect us all. I've posted a free video at disappearingdollar.com. Maybe you'll disagree with my conclusions, but first you need to watch this video and see the facts for yourself. You can watch the video for free right now by going to disappearingdollar.com. Again, that's disappearingdollar.com.
I am a 47-year-old female and had a heart attack in 2005. This is Alice from New Jersey. I still get angina, even with four stents. I was taking nitro two or three times a week. The very first day after taking heart and body extract, the chest pain was gone. Now I don't wear a nitro patch.
Learn the secrets of an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation at hbextract.com.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book Is From the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Oh boy, that big thing about angel hair. Any theories any one of you can enter into this, Mark, Leslie, Chris, any theories as to why the UFO field seems to have changed in terms of the kinds of sightings we get? Is that because of the witnesses and where they are, or do you think that the phenomenon has changed its goals? What do you think? Leslie?
Well, it's a good question. I don't know if technology has anything maybe to do with it. The fact that technology has changed so much, and if somehow that affects the ability of the phenomenon to manifest within the, you know, closer to the Earth. I mean, I have no idea. I'm talking off the top of my head, but it is a very different world now than it was in the 70s. And there's just a lot more atmospheric interference, I would think, than there was back then. But I really don't know. That's just one thought that pops into my mind. So the other question, of course, that comes up a lot is people have so many more cell phones now that there should be good videos that should be able to be obtained a lot more easily than there were. And I haven't seen any really good videos either, even though there are a lot more cameras out there. So that's another question that comes up that I don't have an answer for.
Well, I guess
the fact that cell phones can't get very good video footage. I mean, that cell phones, you if you have something far away and you try to shoot it with a cell phone, you're not going to get much, but still.
Well, close up, they do well. I mean, today's iPhone 6S and 6S Plus are capable of 4K video almost good enough to make a movie from.
Right, but usually UFO sightings aren't going to be too close.
That's the problem.
Camera. That's the problem. So
they don't cooperate.
Right. But I don't know. I mean, Mark, do you think there are actually fewer UFOs out there than there were before, or that something has just changed in terms of our perceiving them? Well, there's no way to answer that, I guess.
Well, let me throw in another bit for consideration about this change, because there's something else broadly that has not just declined, disappeared, and that's the classic UFO wave or flap. And again, those of the listeners who are, you know, old enough or have watched enough UFO documentaries know about the 1957 wave and the 1952 wave and the 1966-67 wave and then et cetera. And then there were similar 54 in France and right on and on.
There were incredible waves in southern Colorado and northern New Mexico from 91 through 99.
Right now,
I mean,
we had
amazing activity. Thousand plus.
Those are very localized flaps. And that's fine, Chris, but I want to make that distinction. So I'm glad you brought that up, because notice the waves I mentioned, and I don't expect the listeners to know this, they were very broad geographically, broader than southern Colorado.
Yeah, they were global in some 73 was right. Global.
That's right. The last, by the way, really large wave wasn't the 73 U.S. wave. It was the 78 Italian slided into Austria wave, kind of European wave. Well, what waves have occurred of that type since 1978?
What now, about the Hudson Valley wave?
Not, no, that's like the Southern Colorado wave.
It's more local, but it's still always
a
cold
wave. Yeah, but it kind of spread to Belgium, so, you know, you have...
Well, Belgium...
Well, no, the waves, because the other definition of a wave is over a relatively short period of time. We're talking 3 months is the typical average time, except there were a couple longer. So the Hudson Valley was, you know, 2 or 3 years, but then there's a gap.
There is a gap.
There's a gap before Belgium.
Right. And it's a big gap. And Belgium is also more localized in the same way than I'm describing. So, yeah, so to then get back to the question, are we still seeing lots of UFOs or have people seen lots of UFOs? Yeah, of course. People are definitely seeing UFOs.
But we're not seeing the wave, the flap levels of activity globally or multi-regionally.
Right. So that's another thing that's gone along with the drop in sightings. And then the final point, and you alluded to this when you said, you know, the worldwide, is that before the late 70s, when a wave occurred, even though, yes, it often was broad, it wasn't always. In fact, it actually wasn't mostly broad. So if you look at the 1952 wave, of course, it was across the U.S. But if you look at Europe, nothing was going on special in Europe. Nothing was going on special in Australia, South America. If you look at the 54 wave in France and Italy and so forth, all across France and northern Italy.
You didn't have nothing, North American activity.
Right, nothing North America. But beginning in the late 70s, again, globally, you know, we have Hudson Valley and all this, but globally, close encounters decline, and they all declined around the same time. And globally, of course, all these large waves just stopped.
Interesting. So, that's about at the time when you had your first proliferation of video cameras.
Yes, that's right.
So it's interesting. We're seeing almost a reverse bell curve as our level of technology has become more widespread throughout the culture. And conversely, at the same time, the price has been coming down. The UFO is getting further and further away from us in terms of your average sighting. It's almost like back when we didn't have the technological ability to record events up close and personal in the 40s and 50s, UFOs were up close and personal. And as our ability has developed to possibly document these events real time, the phenomenon has had to move further back and further back. I don't know if anybody's ever thought about that before, but it makes sense to me.
Chris, when you say that, Chris, it sounds like there's a deliberate effort on the part of the force or forces behind UFOs to become more elusive as we in turn became better able to track them.
Exactly.
Weird.
Well, it's like blob squatches and blob UFOs. I mean, the best UFO footage is fairly fleeting and nondescript. The real good stuff, I have a feeling, is much more rare and is much more problematic and is almost always daylight footage. And that's why the UFO Data Project is so exciting, because the visible spectrum, especially during daylight, is where a lot of wonderful diamonds and golden nuggets are going to be held, I think, scientifically.
Does that indicate something that also has been theorized, not just that the UFO phenomenon is becoming more interested in staying just one step away from us as we can find it? There have been suggestions that maybe all or most UFO cases since the 80s or 70s, whatever, are just conventional objects that E.T. left us a long time ago.
Well, I think that's silly, but the consider it seriously for a moment. You know, the there have been fabulous UFO sightings like Belgium since then, and I think that we've, you know, SOBEPS in Belgium and others have looked at that, just those cases alone, to know that despite what skeptics say, no, it wasn't. You know, aircraft being tested or all the other things they say. The O'Hara UFO case here, 5 miles from where I'm sitting. You know, where was I that day when it happened? I was sitting at my desk looking at my PC screen, not looking out the window. You know, that case is a more of a classic one, by the way, with a disc that, you know, we don't have a disc like that can do what was reported. So, no, we are getting sightings that are not our own technology, that are not explainable with our own technology, unless, of course, which I don't believe, that we have such incredible reverse engineering stuff that we're making secret trips, you know, to the moon and Jupiter and all that and keeping it quiet. So the UFOs are still around. There's, you know, 100% absolutely unexplained, honest to God, really interesting cases still occur. They've changed, like we've been talking about, but they're out there and they're not, and they're, you know, they didn't disappear, you know, in the late 70s or early 80s.
There's also the case in 2007, actually, after the O'Hare case, of the gigantic UFO that was seen by Captain Ray Beaulieu over the Channel Islands. I don't know if you're familiar with that case, but it was this two massive objects that he and his passengers saw in a small airplane, very well documented, and he filed a written report on it. Yeah. He drew a drawing, you know, he filed it with the CAA because in Europe, those pilots have reporting forms for such things
that
we don't have. And we don't have them here. And I remember talking to him at great length about his just surprise at the way the whole subject is handled here in terms of our aviation authorities.
Yeah, call the
fact that we don't even
call Bigelow.
Yeah, we don't have any channels through which we can make any official reports of these. So anyway, that was another really, really great case that occurred fairly recently. But I'm not aware of much since then that's really been outstanding since 2007.
We got more to cover here, and we're getting into the UFO Data Project in just a moment. We have Leslie Kane, Mark Rodiger, Gene, and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack of the Rockaways. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockaways lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockaways is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockaways, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition."
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 pain relief hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.